Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, if you like this podcast, go behind the paywall to get privileged access to the smartest minds in finance. Visit realvision.com/RVPod and use the promo code PODCAST10, that's PODCAST10, to get 10% off our essential membership for the first year. Join the Real Vision community and learn how to become a better investor. And now to the top analysis of today's markets.
Will tech earnings deliver? Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Real Vision Daily Briefing. With me today is Eric Jackson, founder of EMJ Capital. Hi, Eric. It's great to see you.
Hey, Maggie. Thanks for having me back.
And you're back at the start of what is going to be a big week. We have earnings coming out from some of the biggest names in tech, which I know you're watching closely, as well as a Fed meeting Wednesday, Thursday, and the monthly jobs report on Friday. It doesn't always usually line up like that, but it certainly is this week.
No, this is a tech bonanza week for big tech especially. But there are actually some really interesting other smaller tech names that are going to be reporting as well. So they should give an additional flavor to the overall health of different parts of tech, not just the biggest of the big names like Amazon, Google, and Apple, which are kind of the headliners this week.
Yeah, the monsters that we always pay close attention to. So we saw equities pull back today with the NASDAQ leading the way, sort of risk off in terms of assets. What's top of mind for you as we start the week and we look forward to hearing from all these different executives? What are you going to be paying really close attention to?
Well, I think some of the names that really led us into the plunge that we saw last year in tech were the advertising reliant names like Snap, and they're reporting tomorrow, Tuesday. And of course, Meta, who is reporting on Wednesday. So they early on saw advertisers really starting to pull back. And so it will be interesting to see whether there's some flip side encouraging signs from advertisers coming out of their reports. And of course, Google, advertisers will speak as well. Google has been getting a lot of attention because of the whole ChatGPT phenomenon that's been going on for the last few weeks. I expect they'll probably, wave their hands at some solution that they have in the can, which they plan to reveal over the coming months or quarters. There won't be any impact on the short-term earnings. So I think investors and me, I'll be focused just on what are the advertisers really doing with these big names over the first, over the last few months and what's the guide into this year.
Yeah, that's a great point because that was a really early indicator and everybody was kind of, I don't know if shock's the right word, but you could see the market reprice immediately as that, and it was a brutal ride down. So we've seen tech, it's a very different story though, isn't it? The first month of this year, we saw tech rally, the beaten down names have come back with a vengeance. Certainly seemed to take some people by surprise. How do you feel the market is right now? What is the sentiment as we head into this earnings period? Do people feel like they're still overly bearish? Could we be poised for some upside surprise? Just looking at the sector as a whole, or have a lot of those that were bearish or short covered? Are expectations maybe too high now? How are you feeling about that?
Well, even though the month has been great, I'm not complaining at all. I haven't heard as many people talk about just how brutal December was. And so part of this January rally, I think, is a sort of a snapback from just a enormous, probably tax loss selling that went on at the end of the year. People were just wanting to get out of these beaten down names that were already down 60-70% before the end of the year. And so there just wasn't an incremental seller coming into this year. But that all that said, I would say even though now here we are, I don't know what it is, week four, of a good market, we're starting to hear the too far too fast questions on financial media, and I'm pretty sure if the rally continues, people will start to hear bears complaining that it makes no sense and there's no logic behind this. And this is, earlier today I heard lots of this is just a classic bear market rally. I'm not gonna, I'm doing nothing. I'm sitting on my hands. So, and yet there's an acknowledgement that probably some managers were caught offside by the move and are starting to cover positions or starting to have to dip their toe in the waters. But I don't think it's the sentiment is overly positive. Certainly not as negative as it was at the end of the year. And so I am optimistic that there is something a little different about this particular rally compared to the one that we saw in the middle part of last year from kind of mid-June until early August. I think there are a number of reasons to be optimistic. So we'll just have to see. There's always the negative voices. But if the rally continues, eventually they just start to die away.
Yeah, well, the fact that they're out there answers the question, right? I mean, they're not as brazen, perhaps, because they were on the wrong side of it for the month of January. But the fact that they're still there gives you an indication that this is still a little bit of a battle. We've got a lot of people plugged in, which I'm looking forward to, including Roy from Philadelphia, who was probably up really late last night, Roy. So thank you for even being working in some capacity today. Of course, I'm referring to the Eagles getting into the Super Bowl. But we're gonna sort of drill down into some individual names. So if there's something on your mind in terms of questions around tech, please, by all means, you know what to do. You can drop them in the live chat, put them in the chat on YouTube, or you can tweet us at Real Vision. Before we talk about some of those big, especially the mega caps that you talked about, Eric, I'm just curious, we do have this Fed meeting coming this week, and Danielle DiMartino Booth spoke with Andreas as part of one of our new series called Deep Dive, really trying to dig in underneath that Fed and, laid out a scenario where, or at least talked about the risks around the fact that the Fed may hold on to that pledge to hold rates higher for longer, if not continue hiking. Let's have a listen to that and we'll chat on the other side.
If I can put the spoiler out there before we even really get going, what's important is whether or not, for the first time since Paul Volcker left office in August of 1987, whether or not the Fed is going to defy market pricing. Because that is the implication if they're going to keep hiking interest rates. The important part about this, we can talk more about it, is as long as they continue, even with baby steps, 25 basis points a time, as long as that continues, quantitative tightening rolls on in the background, and that's what they talk about the least, is what's absolutely the most important, and that is QT.
Really, really fascinating conversation. Even if you think you've been following the Fed, there were some really interesting observations Danielle had, as always, on there. So I encourage you to check it out. You can find the link where to get information so you can join and view that. The full interview is on our website. So, Eric, it's very interesting. Does the tech sector need the Fed to pause or pivot this year in order to rally? Can these companies handle a higher interest rate environment if we are going to sit here?
I don't think that they need a pause to continue rallying. I mean, certainly it hasn't needed that in the month of January. I think,
but people have been starting to factor in a soft landing and a Fed pivot. That's kind of come hand in hand, isn't it? Which is why I'm asking the question.
Yeah. I guess I would answer it, Maggie, that for the first time in probably a year, maybe a year and a quarter, I think the Fed is, the tech names are not totally dependent on the Fed. Mm. Like it's really for the last year plus, it really almost hasn't mattered what the company has done on a fundamental basis in terms of when they report earnings. It has just been sort of taken over by whatever the Fed is doing, which has obviously been tightening extremely quickly in 2022. So I think coming into this year, I'm less concerned about what the Fed announces this week, whether it's a quarter point, pause, half point. I don't think it matters as much. I think tech can continue to rally. And I think the reason why is that the market, like, as you said, the market is sniffing ahead. Investors in these names are thinking that the worst of the hiking is over. They're looking forward to the pause, and they're looking forward to the eventual cuts, you know, whether they're going to come in the second half of this year or the beginning of next year. I just think a lot has been done. A lot's baked into the system already. A lot of damage has been done in terms of the multiples, you know, being eviscerated in these tech names. And of course, now that we're sort of at this end of this tightening cycle, you're looking around at names that in some cases have been in bear markets for 2 years. You know, really, you know, a lot of tech names started going into a bear market in February of 2021. Mm-hmm. So we're really at the 2 year anniversary right now. So enough time has passed and enough damage has been done where I think that's the reason why the most beaten down names have been the first to move in the month of January. But there's still, you know, there's still a lot more potential for them to kind of move. If we just have this sort of, you know, tight but neutral-ish environment for the next year with the Fed. If there are cuts, you know, then, you know, there's potential for that to be another tailwind for some of these names as well. That's what makes me most excited. I really can't wait to not care about Jerome Powell anymore.
I think there might be some people that want to tattoo that someplace. I feel like there's a lot of people that can't wait to not care.
I remember Q4 of 2018, which is when he like got overly hawkish, and the whole market like basically took a bath for basically a quarter from September until kind of the end of December of 2018, and that was long enough for me. So the fact that we've had to deal with him for, you know, a year and a bit now has been torture. Hopefully we're at the end of that.
Hey everyone, we're going to take a quick break right now to hear a word from our partners. We'll be right back with more of the day's top analysis on the Real Vision Daily Briefing.
Hi everybody, I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level. The who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
So when you're looking at this space now, are you being, because there was a time when we know that you could pretty much buy anything in tech and you were going to do okay. I mean, you were looking to outperform, yes, but I mean, generally that was the whole, there is no alternative, right? Or huge flows, passive as well as active, just going into FANG because they were just unstoppable. Are you being more discerning now? What's an area, how are you thinking about the sector? You're focused on growth, I think, within the sector, right? So, right. So what do you like? What's it at this point in the cycle? What looks appealing to you?
Well, yeah, if you think of like a slow motion train wreck, kind of making its way through tech, it was first the smaller cap to mid cap companies that got affected, and probably the less profitable ones, you know, at the very, very beginning, then to kind of the more profitable small tech. And then remember, like a lot of money kind of got allocated into big tech towards the end of 2021. And FANG actually had a great year in 2021, while a lot of smaller cap tech did not. But then eventually, you know, the Piper came calling for big tech as well. So coming out of it, I mean, I think it's going to work in a similar fashion where like the probably the least profitable tech names, the most beaten down ones, you know, we've seen that move start to happen in January. And it's going to move to the more profitable, smaller cap names, and then eventually up the chain to the bigger cap names. So So I'm positioned in some of the most beaten down names. I just like one kind of macro view before I jump into some specifics on some tech names. But I think like the most proper analog to the situation where we are right now is August of 1982. And the reason why I'm very specific about that is that that was the August of 1982 was the last time the CPI was above 6.6%. And that month coincided when CPI dropped below 6.6. Mm. And, you know, going into kind of the early 80s, you had chronic inflation, much worse than we've had this time, in excess of 10%, you know, sort of a false start where it seemed to be dropping and then came back. But August of 82 was the moment that it actually decisively dropped below 6.6 and stayed there. And really en route to 2% and kind of staying down at 2% for the last, you know, 40 years or so. And so I think that, you know, what's interesting is that that drop started a market rally. The market had kind of been sort of flattish, kind of had some false starts and dips and stuff, had been kind of very negative kind of coming into that August point. And then for whatever reason, at the sign that, you know, this thing is heading in the right direction in terms of inflation, it took off for a 10-month rally where the S&P rallied 70% over that 10 months and the NASDAQ rallied 100%. The Russell rallied 110%. And then this is just over 10 months. Of course, you know, then, you know, throughout the rest of the 80s, I think NASDAQ averaged something like 20% a year for the next 7 years. So I'm not saying that's going to happen again exactly, but I think part of the start of this rally is sort of like a realization that, okay, you know, inflation is finally dead. You know, we've been waiting and waiting and waiting, and we thought it was going to happen earlier at the end of the summer last year. It didn't, but now we're kind of, we see some evidence that that's where we're heading. And so I think we could be in store for a similar kind of move, which is going to benefit all of tech, but especially growth tech. So I'm positioned in a lot of, you know, some of these kind of smaller cap names and some beaten down names.
That's so interesting. So that it sounds like you're basing it on sort of price action, that the you know, if you see this powerful rally, it stands to reason that those that were the most beaten down and pressured have the most to rebound. But you're definitely going to get pushback on that. Before you even said that, Trillion X in our chat is saying the rebound's been driven by unprofitable tech, so no reason to be excited by this rebound. That's going to worry some people. So what are you looking at? And when we say unprofitable tech, are you differentiating now between those who got swept up in the sell-off but have a viable business model and you think have a road to profitability? How are you kind of squaring that?
Well, I'm unprofitable tech gets thrown around a lot, especially in relation to the ARK names and Cathie mm-hmm. Wood and so forth. I just think it's a bit of, you know, a red herring. I actually think, you know, all of tech and especially all of small tech has been crushed. You know, whether you're an Uber that's solidly profitable, solidly cash flow positive, or I don't know, Carvana or Opendoor or a name like that. You know, so everything's been hurt. The more unprofitable ones have been hurt a lot more. they're like, you know, the Carvana was sort of like people thought it was on the, and I guess some people still do think it's on the verge of bankruptcy. So down 90%+, same with Opendoor. So for me, I want to look around. I want to take a look at some unprofitable names that I think have some staying power. And I have a small position both in Opendoor and Carvana, for example. I want to be exposed to a name like an Uber that is solidly profitable, but a smaller name. And I think it's a misunderstood name. It's a name that always gets compared, and its multiple gets compared to Lyft, its primary competitor. And yet Lyft has a much weaker business. It's a much more geographically limited business. And so, you know, if you're, I think that Uber deserves to be compared to more mid-sized tech. And if it was, its multiple is a lot cheap, even though people say, well, it's a lot more expensive than Lyft, for example. So I think you need to, no surprise, you need to do some sorting between all the possible names out there. It doesn't have to all, they don't all have to be cash flow positive. It really comes down to which names have really been beaten down, are really kind of, had this price dislocation happen to them, and should at some point, and you don't always know what the catalyst will be, will snap back. And so, probably like one of my biggest winners in January has been Coinbase. And so that was a name that just got sold and sold and sold through the end of the year. And you couldn't find anybody saying anything positive about this name, and people saying crypto was a fraud and this and that.
Well, because we had the headlines of FTX and the ripple from that, which has been frightening.
And yet when I looked at it in December, I'm saying, okay, one of their biggest competitors just imploded. And by some measures that you could find, Coinbase, picked up like 30 to 35% of FTX's former business. So just immediately, like, all that market share came over. Coinbase has been a solidly profitable company coming into, its IPO in kind of 2021. And all of a sudden, when they IPO'd, they went on a hiring binge. They went from 1,800 people working at the company to 6,800, like almost like within a year. And so they became all. But that being said, they, 2021, when crypto was going through the roof, they were making money hand over fist, 40% EBITDA margins and so forth, far from an unprofitable tech company. And yet crypto slowed down. They had this huge headcount, FTX imploded. So all those, the thing went down, whatever, from almost $400 a share to, I think this month you could buy it for, I think the low was like $31 a share or something like this. And yet they did two rounds of job cuts. They recognized the problem. I wish they'd done more, but they did lop. I think they're down in the mid threes now, 1,000 employees. So they're going to be a lot more lean, mean, and efficient. I thought, well, I don't know when the crypto comeback is going to happen, but when it comes, who's better positioned than Coinbase? I mean, Binance, this offshore player, or do you want to deal with someone who deals with all the regulators and went through an IPO process and so forth? And so. And then, of course, we did see the snapback in crypto this month. I think all of crypto's total market cap is up like 32-35% this month, this year. And so Coinbase is going to be a big beneficiary of that if people are sucked back in and they start trading not just Ethereum and Bitcoin, but some of these other smaller tokens. So and what also caught my eye was that one of the directors of Coinbase is a guy named Toby Lutke, who's the founder CEO of Shopify. And Toby, in six different transactions between mid-December and kind of early January, dug into his own pocket and bought $3 million worth of Coinbase shares at an average price of $38. And many moons ago, 25 years ago, I was in academia. I did this like big corporate governance study with the professor I was working with at Columbia. Took like a year out of my life. And we were given like tons of funding from McKinsey. And they said, hey, we hear all these things about corporate governance that they're so important. Like things like you should split the CEO from the chair. You should have more diversity on your board. You should have a younger board. You should have more people on your board from the industry or something like this. You've probably heard all these kinds of recommendations before. Problem is, nobody ever studied whether any of these things actually are linked to better stockholder returns. And what did we find? None of these things mattered. There was no correlation from T0 to T1 or T2 between any of these things. If you implemented these changes, there was only one thing that mattered, and it was whether you had two or three or more outside directors on your board who had substantially purchased stock in the company from their own funds. They weren't granted stock. They weren't given RSUs, which is treated like found money by everybody. Yeah. But they actually had to make the conscious choice that I really believe in this company and the CEO. I'm going to dig into my own pocket and spend my money. And it really didn't matter how much. And obviously everyone's financial conditions are different. And some people have said to me, well, you know, Toby bought $3 million worth of Coinbase stock. What does it matter? Because that's, you know, X percent of his overall net worth. Let me tell you, when you spend $3 million, it means something to you, whether you're a billionaire or a millionaire. So, I mean, it's not a for sure thing, but I felt like there are a bunch of things here where this thing is just got oversold. It doesn't make sense here. I don't know when it's going to turn around, but I think if it turns around, it could be a massive multiple of $31 or $32 or wherever it was trading at. So, you know, that's an example. So
that's so interesting.
You can do that kind of an analysis on an open
any
door,
company.
Yeah. Any company.
Well, that's what I think is so useful, because obviously you're bullish Coinbase. I assume you're still holding some sort of position in it, but the interesting thing is that's one of the sort of deciding factors for you, which I think is super interesting.
We're going to take another quick break to hear a word from our partners. We'll be right back with more of the day's top analysis on the Real Vision Daily Briefing.
We have a question about Apple, your thoughts on Apple in general, and then also, you know, when you're listening for that conference call, are you looking for things like their VR headset plans, you know, the sort of what's the next thing that's going to keep Apple going? Does that matter? What's important there for you?
It matters. I mean, they are, you know, a bulletproof. They were the most bulletproof of the big techs last year. Going into this year, I like them and Tesla as the two of the big tech names that I think will likely have the best 2023. With Apple, of course, I'd love to hear about a new product, you know, but really for 10 years, we've been waiting on what's going to be the next iPhone. And it turns out the next iPhone is just the next version of the iPhone. Mm-hmm. I mean, the AirPods, you know, are a meaningful business now. The iPad's a meaningful business now. We'll see what happens with VR. The services obviously matter, but really Apple has done well just by kind of focusing on what it's really good at. And it will be interesting just to see how their retail sales hold in this quarter when all this macro noise around the economy is swirling. They seem to have surprised so far. Obviously, they need to keep it up. But I, you know, that's going to be the most interesting, you know, aspect of that call for me. How they do in China, course. What they say about China coming back over the last month or so. Whether they're seeing a material difference.
Yeah, that will be interesting, because we've been talking a lot about the China reopening, but we're still trying to get really tangible things on that. Want to get a couple questions in. Lena, by the way, that Apple question was for Oliver. Lena is on fire with some really good questions. And they are, if first of all, is Tesla a tech stock? I love that question. And if you have to pick a stock to hold for the medium and long term, what is it? A tech stock to hold for medium, long term. What are your thoughts?
Okay, so Tesla, I think it is a tech stock. I hear the bears saying it's a car company. Why? Yeah. You know, why?
It's such a simple question, but it's a great one.
It's got, you know, its gross margins are going down, and it's going to end up, you know, but it's still a lot, you know, overvalued compared to whatever, Ford. I just don't think any of those other traditional car companies have the opportunity to get into kind of new areas. Obviously, Tesla has the car. It's got the energy storage system growing. Everybody's, you know, some people anyway, everyone's charging their car. Some people are getting into the whole solar city, you know, energy production business. We'll see whether that thing develops. I know that Ford's nowhere near close to, you know, growing that kind of business. We'll see whether they do something with their supercharger network. They've shown with SpaceX that they, you know, they can get into like the, you know, launch the whole Starlink business out of that. So I think there's different optionality with Tesla that just isn't there for the basic car companies. For me, I said this last week when I was asked, the most important metric for Tesla is the deliveries, not the gross margins. And the reason why is just, I think it matters the most from a growth tech investor mindset. You just want to see this company continue to grow and get product out there in driveways of people, because some percentage of them are going to upgrade down the road to full self-driving. And I know lots of people are bears and say that doesn't work and it never will work and all this kind of stuff, or it's high, you know, vaporware and all this. But, you know, a lot of people are subscribing to it and using it, and it is getting better. And we don't know when, you know, no one knew that ChatGPT was going to take off this year.
Right.
And we don't know when full self-driving will, you know, fulfill the promise that, you know, that maybe all of us hope that it will. But that's an upgrade, and that's a boost to gross margins when it comes. I don't think the other car companies have that. So that's in short why I think it's a tech stock. In terms of a mid-sized company,
I think it was a tech company for the medium to long term.
So I would say, you know, I like CoinDesk. I think that has the opportunity. You know, if this bounce proves that it has some staying power, and people look at, you know, how is this company valued again, and what is its cost structure like, and should it get a premium to a Schwab, for example?
This is CoinDesk or Coinbase.
CoinDesk is for sale. Coinbase. Yeah,
I wanted to make sure we were clear on that, because I had a feeling you were talking about Coinbase.
Coin.
But
yes,
I've done the same thing. Don't worry.
Yeah, Coin. So, you know, that's a name that could, you know, be 5x higher than where it is now. If people sort of say, hey, this thing is growing a lot faster than a Schwab. It has great margins. It's got a much improved cost structure. It's the market leader. It's put itself under regulatory scrutiny, unlike the Binances of the world and FTXs and so forth. So if crypto is here to stay, Coin, you know, is going to be a clear beneficiary of that, probably more than any other public stock that's out there. So that's one I like.
So interesting. We're almost out of time, but I just want to squeeze one more in broadly, because I know you had been looking at Team and Bill. Obviously, we, you know, everyone's been kind of tracking what's happening with Salesforce, which is a juggernaut. What about SaaS? Is that an area? This is a lot of focus on this, that maybe, you know, those best days are over. It's going to be tough sledding for that area, as if companies do indeed try to rein in costs. Broadly, do you have thoughts about that area of tech?
They're still a laggard, and they've started to come back in the last week or two, those kinds of names. And specifically, Team and Bill are reporting later this week, I think on Thursday. And so that'll give some additional color. But a lot of these names are like back to where they were 5 years ago, if not lower. So they've really been decimated. I think there's, you know, the investors really haven't come back into them. I don't have as much exposure to them now as I did a year ago or 2 years ago, mm-hmm. certainly when they were the darlings. And so I think it's a bit of a show me story with them. So I think you have time to kind of sit back, look at some of the earnings that come in during this earnings season with them, and then make a decision on whether you want to jump into some of these names or not.
Excellent. We have so much we could cover with tech. We're only really scratching the surface, but it's been a great conversation. Eric, thank you so much. It's going to be really interesting to see what unfolds this week. So we'll be sure to keep track of everything that you're saying out on social and everywhere else. Just as we wrap up, I just wanted to give you all a staff recommendation. This one's from me and Matt, who does our newsletter. And you can find a link for that, our free newsletter, in the chat. If you haven't had a chance to watch or looking for the episode with Andreas and Marco Papich, I encourage you to do so. We have a lot of geopolitics in the headlines right now, whether it's Iran or Turkey's position on Finnish and Swedish membership. So the episode is so, so very timely. So we highly recommend that one to you. Andreas and Tony Greer are going to be here tomorrow. So you can bet they're going to be talking about what's happening in the Middle East, as it may impact the commodity markets, and the very latest on that. So you want to tune in for that. In the meantime, thank you all for joining. Eric, was so great to have him here as well. Eric, thank you for that. Good luck this week. It's going to be super busy. Good luck to all of you out there too. We'll see you soon.
What's up, revolutionaries? Thanks for tuning in to the Real Vision Daily Briefing. For more content like this, head over to realvision.com and get unfiltered access to the very best, brightest, and biggest names in finance.